What is divine feminine energy? Today in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about what divine feminine energy is. And I think it is such an important topic to go over if you are, you know, living in patriarchy in general. So it's good for everyone. And I think it's also specifically really great for ambitious women. Welcome to Worthy of Love, the podcast for ambitious, self-aware women who desire to deeply connect to healthy love. Whether you're single or in a relationship already, this show is here to help you slow down, reconnect with your body, and to help you realize that you are capable and worthy of cultivating and maintaining healthy love, even if you have a history of toxic relationships. I am your host, Celia Antonio. I'm a certified relationship coach and a certified female sexuality coach, and I am so grateful that you are here. Now let's get into the show. If you are an ambitious woman, you will receive so much life-changing transformation from following this journey that I went on about 5 years ago at this point. And that is the journey of following your curiosity to define what is divine feminine energy. Today in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about what divine feminine energy is. And I think it is such an important topic to go over if you are, you know, living in patriarchy in general. So it's good for everyone. And I think it's also specifically really great for ambitious women. And you will learn why when I talk about why, like what that all is. And if you're watching the video, we have my kitty cat Paxton joining us right now. And hopefully the microphone is picking up some of his purrs. Okay, so where do I even start with this? So divine feminine energy is present in all things that exist. Divine feminine energy has nothing to do with gender. Gender and what we define as feminine versus masculine is actually a construct that is taught to us, and what you or I think is the good example of what a woman quote-unquote should be or what a man quote-unquote should be is only a result of our socialization within the society that we were raised in. And you can see evidence of this by studying different cultures and seeing that in different cultures, gender roles can be completely different than what is considered normal in your culture. So first and foremost, divine feminine energy does not have anything to do with gender. And this is something that really bothers me within the coaching space and within, you know, the like tantric space. My certification for coaching is in sex, love, and relationship coaching, and it's very tantra-based. But in the online community of tantra educators and tantra teachers, I observe it, at least, you know, what the algorithm has given me in that community. I observe it as a very patriarchal place that is serving up the definition of divine feminine energy in a way where it's like, this is what women are supposed to be. You have to be super feminine and you have to want a masculine partner. And I think these people aren't realizing that they are just very much conditioned by what society has told them a relationship looks like. They're very much conditioned by patriarchy, by heteronormative culture, very much conditioned by, you know, capitalism as well plays a part in it. And It's very easy to talk about divine feminine energy in a way where you like confuse it as being girly or feminine or womanly, but that is not what it is. And before I go any further, I also want to invite you to come up with your own definition of what divine feminine energy is after you listen to this podcast, and to really just take what I offer here as a suggestion, as my opinion, as something that, you know, I've taken a lot of time to think about this, and I have defined this in different ways. I have taken on other people's definitions in the beginning of my journey, and then as I've been on my journey, realized, like, you know, that doesn't actually resonate with me. And so really take here what resonates with you and leave out the rest. I am in no way here to tell you, like, what you should be doing or how you should be defining it. But I do think that leaning into our divine feminine, no matter what gender you are, or even if you don't identify as any gender, is very, very helpful because of the way our society is created. So the way our society, you know, typically, like, this is, you can find these similarities globally, but typically in our society, divine feminine energy is not honored. And you see this a lot in Western culture. You definitely do see an honoring of divine feminine energy more in Eastern culture. But since this is a podcast from America, I will be talking about that kind of experience of Western culture. So in Western culture, divine feminine energy is not honored. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we live in a culture, this cat just keeps moving. Can you find a place to, like, be still, please? Can you find a spot? Maybe if we bring this cat tree next to us and we sit you here, maybe then you'll be good. You like my Jenga in the background? Okay. So in our culture, we very much value hard work, productivity, this, like, constant growth, constant war, constant conflict. This is the kind of world that we are living in. This is the kind of society we are living in the West. And it's not sustainable because we're only living in a constant pushing of masculine energy. And the masculine energy is that energy of productivity, of constant growth, of war, of, like, that outer force, outer action, like things like protection or, like, defensiveness and all of that stuff. Those are all important things and they're all needed things. But when you're only ever doing that, it's only going to lead to destruction. And that is the world we are living in the West. Whereas divine feminine energy is more of the, like, internal sensations, internal feelings, not constant growth, cyclical growth. Because, you know, it's kind of like if you look at nature, in nature, you know, there's this tree I'm looking at outside my window. This tree, the leaves aren't constantly growing bigger and bigger. Like, they eventually fall and then they, you know, decay on the ground. Yes, the tree trunk is, you know, constantly growing and the tree is always going to grow, but it happens slowly. It's not like this constant, like, oh, let's get more profits than last year and more profits than more and more and more and more. And it's just not sustainable the way we have created our society in the West, where it's that constant growth. And so when I describe feminine and masculine energy in these terms, I hope that you can see that it has nothing to do with gender. It's just a way to describe two opposing elements that is present in all things. And I really mean all things. So I'll take an example of this pen on my desk. You can even, you know, see what the divine feminine and divine masculine qualities are in this pen. The masculine qualities are the shape of the pen that is holding in what's inside. And the divine feminine of this pen is the ink inside. The ink is flowy. The ink is moving. The ink is not something that is a rigid structure, but it's held in place by the structure of the pen. If this pen didn't have that structure of being held in place and it only had the feminine ink, you wouldn't be able to use it as a pen. And then if the pen only had the structure but no ink inside, you also wouldn't be able to use it as a pen. You need both of these things. So I hope this shows that it's, you know, it's not having anything to do with gender, even though we call it divine feminine and divine masculine. That's why there are other ways to describe these things. There are different words, like you've probably heard of yin and yang. Yin is the feminine, yang is the masculine. Or even to make it even more simple, dark and light. You need darkness to have light, and you need light to be able to differentiate what is dark. You can't just have constant light or constant dark. Like, that doesn't exist in our universe, that it's constantly dark and no light at all. Even in the deep, deep, deep sea, where it's very dark, there are little slivers of light. There's, you know, I'm thinking of like the anglerfish that has the little thing that goes over their head and it has like this little thing of light. They need that light to eat, to survive. So for me personally, divine feminine energy is something that, like, I was very curious about. And in 2021, I had at that time recently gotten my first cat. And I just, you know, recognized that she would rest a lot. She was, you know, very strong with her boundaries, really good at self-care. And that really inspired me. And at the same time, my algorithm on Instagram at that time was kind of like pushing a lot of like, oh, divine feminine. And the way I was exposed to what divine feminine energy was at that time was that it meant that you... So at the time, let me go back, let me give a little bit more context. At the time, I was like in the beginning of my business journey. And so when it comes to business and creating your business, the way it was taught to me in a quote unquote divine feminine way was like, you don't plan, you don't make a business plan, you don't like be super rigid about it, and you just, you know, go with the flow with what you need and what you're feeling and what you're inspired for that day. And at first I found that very empowering. And for some of us that like works, but like I said before with the pen, I think you can't just do that and not have any structure and find a level of success with your business, you know, as long as we are existing in this world of patriarchy and capitalism, which capitalism, to play that game of capitalism that we unfortunately have to play because, you know, we can't barter with our landlord or our banks that have issued our mortgages to us. We can't barter with them and be like, can I teach you like 5 yoga classes in exchange for my mortgage or exchange for my rent? Like, can I barter that instead of giving you money? No, we exist in capitalism where we have to exchange money for all of the resources that we need for our basic human needs of shelter, food, and water, and all the things. And that made me lose my train of thought, but okay. Another thing about divine feminine is I feel like when you honor your divine feminine and you make it not wrong, because our society really pushes again towards the masculine, as it is doing that, it is making us think that divine feminine is wrong. But when you accept it and you nurture it and you stop labeling it as wrong, you can be more authentic. You can be more of yourself. You can record a podcast on, you know, on your laptop and lose your train of thought and then just be like, it's all right. What do I want to say next? And close your eyes and really just tune into that. It's that embodiment of being like, I am worthy. I am okay. I don't have to be perfect. And I think it really frees a lot of energy. It really frees you to be your true self, to be your messy human self. Because divine feminine energy is messy. It's the chaos of life. It's the ever-changing seasons. It's the chaos of birth. It's something that is flowing and ever moving and doesn't have containment. And divine masculine is where the containment comes in. So I hope that this is making sense so far. What else do I want to say about this? Okay, let's tie this to you as someone who is here to really notice your worthiness and really show up, speak out, and be seen in healthy relationships. And maybe you've had a history of toxic relationships before. When we have had a history of toxic relationships, I think that really connecting with the divine feminine energy is going to be very helpful, because the reason why we stayed in toxic relationships in the past is probably because we weren't honoring our own feelings. We weren't honoring our own sensations. We weren't honoring our own truth. And divine feminine energy is all about honoring your sensations, your emotions, and your truth. And because we live in a society where the divine feminine is not honored, we are trained to do these things. We are trained to set our emotions and sensations and truth aside so that we can be a good worker and produce for the billionaires and be in our masculine energy. And then we are just, you know, totally denying our human selves, which are multifaceted. And, you know, this again goes beyond gender, and this is affecting everyone. This is affecting everyone. So an example of how it affects women is we will fight and numb our bodies in order to get that to-do list done. We will close up our throats to not speak our truth. We will ignore red flags, all of those things. We will basically shut down our truth. And then the way it affects, you know, that affects all genders, actually. We will all do that. But a specific example that I'm bringing up, that's coming up in my mind of how this affects men, is again very much tied to gender roles here in America. Men's gender roles, they're typically taught to not be emotional. And to, you know, there's like that saying of like, boys don't cry and stuff like that. And that is subtly teaching young boys and children, you know, and men to not honor their divine feminine, which is all about feeling and sensation. And just because you are a man does not mean you don't have feelings and don't have sensations. And when we cut off an entire population of their feelings and sensations, it's not good for society as a whole. It's not good for the world as a whole. It's not good for nature. It's not good for the animals. It's not good for our climate. It's not good at all, period. It's not good. And then when we, as, you know, as someone who's a relationship coach, when we talk about divine feminine and divine masculine energy, when we conflate it with gender roles and say like, oh, you have to be in your feminine 100% because you're a woman, and then you have to attract a masculine partner, that's also not good, because then we are just perpetuating heteronormative culture. We are, again, what I said earlier about like cutting people off from their feelings and sensations. You are cutting people off from their feelings and sensations if you're telling them, because you are this gender, this is how you have to act. So again, divine feminine energy is not about gender. It is about, like, if I could summarize it into one sentence of what divine feminine energy is to me, and again, I would love for you to sit down after this podcast and maybe journal and define it for yourself. To me, divine feminine energy is the connection with your body. It's the connection with the part of you that is separate from thought. And I would define divine masculine as your mind and your conscious mind, at least. So like when you're doing work that's like work on limiting beliefs and like noticing your limiting beliefs and working on like affirmations and noticing how you speak to yourself and your inner dialogue, I define that as divine masculine work. And then, you know, even things like mindfulness, where you're noticing the mind, which is basically just what I just said in different words. I see all that as divine masculine work, whereas the opposite side of the spectrum, or I guess like not necessarily opposite because it's like yin and yang, they complement each other. Your thoughts are very much connected to your sensations. When you work on dropping into your felt sense, dropping into what sensations are alive in me, in my chest right now, what sensations are alive in my belly right now, what sensations are alive in my hips, can I really plug in and be present in this moment and in my body and just be with the feelings and sensations instead of swirling around in the mind? That's divine feminine work. And to take it even further, like when you take it into the realms of like pleasure, it is so helpful for women to be able to get out of that mind thing. And honestly, men too, all genders. It is so helpful for us to get out of the mind swirling thoughts of like, do I look okay? Do I look fat? Am I making weird noises? Am I like moving incorrectly? Does he, she, or they like this? Like, what is that? Like, all of that anxiety does not help us when it comes to pleasure and sexuality. And so when we can drop into just really feeling the pleasure, breathing in with the pleasure, relaxing into the pleasure, it's going to help us be more present with the partner in front of us or be more present with ourselves if it's solo sex. And it's going to help us really gain from that experience rather than it being a frustrating experience, rather than it being something that doesn't connect you deeper to your body or doesn't connect you deeper to your partner. It is so helpful to connect with divine feminine energy. And what are other ways I can describe it? I feel like that like summarizes it. I'm having in my head, like right now I'm noticing, like I'm just seeing in the little like duration timer, like, oh, I've only been speaking for 21 minutes. There must be so much more that I have to say about divine feminine energy. And I'll just say one more thing. So I said earlier that your sensations are very much connected to your thoughts and how thoughts are the divine masculine, in my opinion, and sensations are divine feminine, in my opinion. I also think that when you reconnect with your divine feminine energy, you are reconnecting with like where you originally came from and your like source of your first experiences as a human. Because just think about when you were in utero, before you knew words, before you knew language, you were just a beating, living being that was just experiencing sensation. Like you were just in the divine feminine experience. You were just there. That was all of your experience. That was all it was. That's like the origin of our experience, again, in my opinion. And then you're born and you're born into this world and you really are just truly unapologetically in your divine feminine. You're just feeling and you're expressing your feelings. Like I've never met a baby that's like, oh, I'm not worthy enough to cry. Like we're just like, we make it known when we need something. We make it known when we're pissed off, when we're hungry, when we're uncomfortable. We make it known. And then eventually divine masculine comes in. And then we learn words for things. We learn how to label stuff. We learn how to categorize things. There's that more like logicalness that we learn. And with both of those together in a good balance, we are able to function in our society. We are, you know, conscious and aware of our world and able to explain what we're feeling, able to explain what we want and express what we want more in a more articulate way. And, you know, even when you're doing things like defining the sensations you feel, it is very divine feminine to be with those feelings. But then it is also divine masculine when you put a word to those feelings, because it's like, who are we to say that a word that, you know, let's say you're tuning into your sensations in your chest and you feel like a fluttery, glittery, warm feeling, right? That's like the label we put. That is still just like a made up concept. Like, who are we to say what the word glittery is, or the word warm is, or any word, honestly, like this water bottle, like why did we pick the word water? Like, it was just, it's all made up. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, I highly recommend that you, after listening to this, take the time to really just see what comes up for you intuitively when I ask you what is divine feminine energy. And then I would also suggest for you to check in and notice, where are you maybe conflating gender roles with what it means to be in your divine feminine or be in your divine masculine? And how can you separate them? Because what gender, like whatever it is that you define as feminine in terms of the gender, is actually not feminine. It just is. Like, it just is. It just exists. And in your society that you were socialized in, you learn to label that thing as feminine. Whereas in another society on the other side of the world, they label that thing as masculine, or they label it as neutral. Or maybe they label it as the same, but we all learn different gender roles, and we learn how to define these things differently based on our socialization, when really it all like doesn't actually really mean anything. The socialization is just helpful for us to coexist as a harmonious society, because when we all agree that something means a certain thing, it's easier for us to exist in a large group of people. And yeah, you can tell I'm in a sociology class right now. Okay, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I will also link an older episode where I talked about this. It's probably going to be cringy because it's very old, but I also define divine feminine and divine masculine. And if you are watching, or listening to this, and you want to really connect with your divine feminine energy, and you are a woman or feminine identifying being, I have a breast massage course. It's called Heart Magic. And I think breast massage is a really good way to connect with your divine feminine energy, especially when it comes to like self-love, body image, and even sexuality and pleasure, because the breasts are most often ignored. And doing a practice like breast massage that is very conscious and thoughtful is a way to really slow things down and to not come to pleasure and sexuality from a patriarchal way, where we are taught in a very divine masculine way that sexuality should be fast and quick and loud. And we learn that it can also be slow and gentle, and we can take our time and we can breathe, and then we can really come back into our bodies in a more deeper way than we ever have before. And yeah, I think breast massage is a really, really transformative practice to really connect with your divine feminine energy. So I'm going to include a link to my course Heart Magic in the show notes or the caption below. And yeah, I hope you like this episode. Feel free to comment below this video, or yeah, you'd have to go to the video. If you're listening to the podcast, I'll include a link to the YouTube video. Comment in the comments how you define divine feminine energy. I would love to read your comments. I feel like it very much is something of like the way I define it. I'm not saying like I am right. And I think it very much is a discussion that we can all have collectively. I also think that whatever we are defining it as now, whatever you're defining it as, whatever I'm defining it as, will change over time as we collectively, as a society and as people, learn more and heal more and develop more. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I'll see you next time. Bye.